بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ما بعد. We continue reading in the chapter باب فضل الجماعة ووجوبها. And the author, he mentioned several narrations, and we continue. And he says, رحمه الله تعالى وعنه أي وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أثقل الصلاة على المنافقين صلاة العشاء والصلاة الفجر ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لأتوهما ولو حبوا. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the heaviest prayer upon the hypocrites is the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer. And if they only knew that which is in them, then they would come to those two prayers crawling. Habwa, habwa. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَتُقَامُ. And verily I thought about and had intended to command for the prayer to be established. ثُمَّ أَمُرَ رَجُلًا فَيُصَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ. And then I will command a man to establish the prayer and lead them in salat, and lead the people in salat. ثُمَّ أَنْطَلِقُ مَعِي بِرِجَالٍ مَعُهُمْ حُزَمٌ مِنْ حَطَبٍ إِلَى قَوْمٍ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And then I would go with some men along with me who have bundles of firewood or of wood, and I will go to those people who do not attend the obligatory prayer in congregation. فُوَحَرِّقُ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِالنَّارِ. And I will burn their houses down upon them with fire. And I will burn their houses down upon them with fire. So this narration is a clarification of what the author he has mentioned in the chapter. Title, بَابُ فَضْلِ الْجَمَاعَةِ وَوُجُوبِهَا. Those narrations that have preceded, and the classes that have preceded, which the issues we have discussed, they clarify the first part of this chapter, فَضْلُ الْجَمَاعَةِ, the virtue of the congregational prayer. Now, this narration here is an evidence for the other issue that the author is referring to in that chapter title, and that is wujub. Wujub al-jama'ah. Wujub al-jama'ah, the obligation of the congregation. So the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَثْقَلُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ. The heaviest prayer upon the hypocrites. The heaviest prayer, أَثْقَلُ As-salat, yani it's heavy on their hearts and it's difficult for them to attend. Yani, but salat here, it means in congregation. In congregation behind the imam in the masjid. أَثْقَلُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ, on the hypocrites. صَلَاةُ الْعِشَى وَصَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ. The prayer of al-Isha, which is the night prayer, the last prayer, and the Fajr prayer, which is the morning prayer. So we see here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning some of the characteristics and traits of the munafiqeen. And in his days, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Medina, there were believers and there were disbelievers and there were people of the book and there were munafiqoon. Yani, and they were munafiquna khullas. They were sincere and pure hypocrites. And it is known with the people of knowledge that an-nifaq is two types. النفاق الاعتقادي النفاق الاعتقادي والنفاق العملي, also known as النفاق الأكبر والنفاق الأصغر, يعني major hypocrisy, and this is hypocrisy in creed, and there is a lesser type of hypocrisy, and this is hypocrisy in deed and in action. And the word النفاق أو المنافق, the hypocrite, and the word hypocrisy, نفاق, it comes from Nafaq. Nafaq is a tunnel or a path that will have two ways out. It will have two ways out. And this is named after some of the animals, the way that they build nafaq, and they have tunnels in the ground, and a certain type of creature, it will dig one way and another way out. And you know, if somebody came to get in from the front, he has another way out in the back. And like this, a hypocrite likewise. He always has a way out. And he always finds a way out, and he displays one thing. If somebody confronts him with that, he goes to another way, and he changes. But in any case, yani in the legislation and nifaq, what is being referred to here, those pure hypocrites, those true hypocrites, yani annahum yudhhiruna al-islama wa yubtiluna al-kufr, that they display outwardly al-islam but they hold in their hearts disbelief. And if they claim to be Muslims but they're not, in their hearts they do not believe, and they're only claiming to be Muslims for some type of benefit, worldly benefit, to be safe or to have their property safe or their wealth safe and the likes like this. So this is the major hypocrisy, and these were the type of hypocrites present in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. But there's another type of nifaq or hypocrisy that is lesser than that, and that is known as nifaqu al-amali, and it's the nifaq al-amali. It is hypocrisy in the deeds. And this could occur to some believers whenever their faith is weak and they perform actions of disobedience and they fall into major sin. This is because a type of hypocrisy in their heart. And they resemble those hypocrites in that manner, claiming that they believe, yet they act contrary to the actions. They do the actions that are contrary to the actions of al-Iman. And sometimes they will make the statements that are contrary and in opposition to the statements of al-Iman. So, but these statements and actions do not take them out of the deen. So they are Muslims and they believe, but their belief is weak. But their belief is weak. And because of this, their actions are likewise weak and they fall into sin and disobedience. In any case, we see here the true hypocrites in the time of the Prophet, the heaviest prayer upon the hypocrites, what is it? The Isha, from the obligatory prayers, and then the Fajr prayer. And the ulama, they mentioned, because this is the case with regards to them, for one fact, in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at nighttime, they did not have lights. They did not have lots of lighting. And therefore, it was very dark in the streets, and it was dark in the masjid, and it was dark in the places that they would go. So the Isha prayers at nighttime, and likewise the Fajr prayers at nighttime. And those hypocrites, the only reason they pray is so that the people can see them. يُرَعُونَ النَّاسِ يُرَعُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah mentioned them in His book, that they show off. They're praying for the people to see them. And they don't remember Allah except for a little bit. Except for a little. Or hardly at all. And at nighttime, they are not seen. So they don't have anything to go to the masjid for, because they're only going there to be seen. But at Isha, nobody will see them because it's dark. And at Fajr, likewise, nobody will see them because it's dark. So therefore, they're very lazy at this time specifically. Because the only reason they go and the purpose that draws them to go and moves them to stand and to go to the masjid is so that they can be seen by the people. So that they can be seen by the people. So whenever this reason is not there, it's difficult and it's heavy for them to get up and to go to the salat. To get up and to go to the salat. Likewise, from the reasons that ulama have mentioned of the heaviness of this prayer upon them particularly, is that the Isha prayer, it is after a day's work. And it's at the time whenever the soul wants to rest. And the individual been out all day and he's been dealing and working and he has become tired and has lost energy and the likes like this. And now he's in a state where he's ready to relax and he's ready to kick back and he's ready to stay in one spot. But now the Isha prayer has come and he has to move. But these people, it's heavy for them. It's heavy for them. Naam, it's heavy for them because of the fact that they do not have Iman to move them. Whenever an individual has Iman in his heart, it makes performing the actions of worship light for him. And the more one remembers Allah, the easier and the lighter those acts of worship will become. Rather, the more sweet they will become for that believer, according to how much he remembers Allah while performing them. Likewise, at the Fajr time, this is a time of relaxation. It's a time where an individual, he is enjoying his sleep. And he is tasting the sweetness of his rest. And he is enjoying himself in that state. And he does not want to get up. Regardless of whether it's summertime or wintertime. All year round, the individual who be in this state. And this one, he does not have Iman in his heart to move him, to get him off of the bed, and to remove him to the masjid. But as for the one who the Iman is in his heart and is strong, it will move him even before the time for Fajr. ولله الحمد ونسأل الله عز وجل من فضله. But it will move him at least to perform the obligation and to get and for him to wake up out of the bed and to go and to establish the salat and to stand in the congregation with the Muslims and the likes like this. So أثقل الصلاة على المنافقين الصلاة العشاء والصلاة الفجر. The heaviest prayer on the hypocrites, this is the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer. And this is on the true hypocrites. But likewise, if an individual, his iman becomes weak, then likewise the prayer can become heavy for him. At this time, this is because of sickness and a disease in his heart, and likewise he is being tried with hypocrisy as well. عياذاً بالله. And this is a sign that an individual, he has hypocrisy in his heart. So a believer has to strive. If he finds this in his heart, he will strive to remove it and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid him to worship him and to make the worship easy for him and to facilitate for him and to give him the sweetness of iman. And he will strive to against his soul to perform the obligations in a manner pleasing to Allah. And the one who does this, then he should have glad tidings. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will remove that difficulty and he will replace that hardship with ease and he will facilitate the way for that believer. But as for the one who falls victim to his desires and his souls, and he continues to feel the heaviness of worship and that worship and establishing the prayer is something heavy on his heart, then this is a sign of hypocrisy. A believer should fear this and strive to be away from this. And this is a sign that this individual, he has some traits and characteristics of the hypocrites. And from those traits and characteristics is whenever they stand for the prayer, they stand in a state of laziness. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Now, that verily the hypocrites, they seek to deceive Allah. وَاللَّهُ خَادِعُهُمْ. Allah will deceive them. And if they stand for the salat, they stand in a state of laziness. They stand in a state of laziness, and they only show off for the people, and they don't remember Allah Azza wa Jalla except for a little. So therefore, to stand up to the prayer in a state of laziness, this is having a resemblance with the hypocrites, any of the pure hypocrites, any this is a type of hypocrisy. Even if a person, he was a true believer, he was a Muslim, no doubt about that. If he had this trait, then he's sharing the hypocrites in this trait, standing to the prayer in a manner of laziness. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he mentioned يكره أن يقوم الرجل إلى الصلاة وهو كسلان. It is disliked, يعني يكره, يعني for a man to stand up to perform the prayer while he's in a state of laziness. ولكن, he says رحمه الله, ولكن يقوم إليها طلق الوجه عظيم الرغبة شديد الفرح. But rather, يعني he does not stand and up to go to the prayer in a state of laziness. But rather, how does he stand? Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he says, he stands up to the prayer with a face that is smiling, and a face that is pleasant, with a pleasant face. And he has a strong desire. And likewise, he's very happy. And he's rejoicing to go establish that prayer. This is how a believer should stand up to perform the prayer. Now, because verily, فَإِنُّهُ يُنَاجِي اللَّهِ, because verily, he's having a private consultation with Allah. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَامَهُ, and at this time, verily, Allah is in front of him. يَغْفِرُ لَهُ وَيُجِيبُهُ, and likewise, Allah will forgive him. And he's standing up in this state, and whenever he's having a private consultation with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will forgive him. And وَيُجِيبُهُ إِذَا دَعَاهُ, and Allah will respond to him. So this is the way a believer, he stands, if he's going to stand up for the prayer. ثُمَّ تَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, then Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he recited this verse, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى, and whenever they stand to the prayer, or they stand up for the prayer, they stand up in a state of laziness. They stand up lazily. So, and another sign of this is if somebody mentions something from affairs of the dunya, somebody may say to him, let's go to the market, let's go to the mall, let's go to the coffee shop, let's go have a drink, let's go get some tea, let's go get some food, let's go to this place here from the places of the dunya, let's go to the park, let's go to the swing, let's go play, whatever, let's go play basketball, some of the children like this. If you ask them that, they would jump out of their chair. Some of the individuals who are tried with this trait. And this is so that we can know and be aware of this. And if a believer finds this in himself, he will remove it and he will strive and he will seek the aid of Allah. But this is the case. If you mention to some individuals who are tried by this, some affairs of the dunya, like has been mentioned, they will jump out of their chair and they will move quickly. and then move quickly. But if you say to the same thing, let's go pray in the masjid, let's establish the salat. Like this, the adhan has been made. It's almost iqama. Like this, and he will stay in his chair. That same person, if you mention to him something from the dunya, you will find him not having that same attitude. You'll find him not feeling that same tiredness. And the likes like this. And this is a calamity. And this is a calamity. And this is from a disease in the heart. But rather, a believer would stand up for the prayer with energy. And he should be excited. And he should be happy. And he should know the blessing of Allah upon him, that Allah had made him from the people of Salah. And that the people who went to paradise, they're Muslims. And the Muslims, they pray. So this is an important issue to be aware of. أَثْقَرُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَى وَالصَّلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ. Yani the ibadah is heavy. It's heavy on the hypocrites and on the people who have a branch of hypocrisy in their hearts. But it's light on the believer and it's easy on the believers. Whether it's delightful for the believer. The stronger the iman and the more one remembers Allah, the more delightful the prayer will be for that individual. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. And the delight of my eye was made in the prayer. And the prayer was قُرَّةَ عَيْنِ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was the delight of his eye. He would tell Bilal, he would say, يَا بِلَال أَرِحْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. Oh Bilal, bring us ease with the prayer. Yani meaning make the adhan, adhan hatta nusalliya. Yani make the adhan, make the prayer so we can pray, we can find relaxation, we can get away from this dunya and the affairs of this life, and we can think and ponder about our reality, and we can worship our Lord. Now, this is what the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. أَثْقَرُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ وَصَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ. The heaviest prayer on the hypocrites, yani the heaviest prayer meaning a congregation, is the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا. لَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا. Yani the ulama, they mention, لَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ, yani لَوْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُمْ عِلْمُ إِيمَانٍ وَعِلْمُ يَقِينٍ. If they had the knowledge of iman, if there was iman in their hearts, if they had only known what is in them, مَا فِيهِمَا, only known, yani known with knowledge, known with iman, known with faith, known with certainty, what is in them, مَا فِيهِمَا. The ulama, they mention likewise, what is in those two prayers? يعني ما فيهما من الثواب وما فيهما من العقاب أيضا. نعم. That which is in those two prayers from the reward, and likewise that which is in those two prayers from the punishment. From the punishment for those who neglect it. From the punishment of those who neglect it. The heaviest prayer on the hypocrites, the prayer of Isha and the prayer of Fajr. If they only knew what was in them. Any what was in them, meaning from the great reward for those who establish it properly, and likewise the severe punishment for those who neglect it. لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَا. If they knew what was in these two, meaning from reward or from punishment, they would come to that prayer, or they would come to the both of them, even if they're حَبْوَن. حَبْوَن الْحَبُّ الْمَشْيُ عَلَى الْأَيْدِ وَرُكَبْ. Any meaning they would come to it even if they're crawling on their hands and knees. If they knew the reward of establishing those two prayers in congregation in the proper manner, they would come to them even if they had to crawl on their hands and knees. And if they knew the severe punishment for those who neglect this obligation, then likewise they would come to that prayer even if they had to come crawling on their hands and on their knees. This is something that is amazing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informing that a person, yani he would, if he only knew how great the reward is, that he would strive to obtain that reward even if he had to crawl on his hands and his knees. And there's no other way for him to move, but he wants the reward so bad that he will try to get it while he's crawling on his hands and his knees. On the other hand, likewise, there is a punishment that is so severe that if a person could avoid it, and there's no way for him to avoid it except for him to crawl on his hands and his knees, he would do that. He would do that. Oh, Allahu Akbar. This reminds me of a situation that I seen one time in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. Yani, ashayu bishay yudhkar. One thing, mention of one thing leads to another. There is this one individual in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, and I don't know him, but I know him. I don't know him personally, but I know this person's face. And how do I know him? Because sometimes, especially in the time after Hajj and the likes, the opportunity to make Umrah will be closed for the world, except for the people who live in the Gulf. And the Masjid al-Nabawi will be very empty for several months. And likewise, the Masjid al-Haram, it'll be very empty. There are several months out of the year that the Masjid al-Nabawi is empty after Hajj for several months, and there's nobody comes in from outside, and that Masjid is empty, and you can move around freely, and there's lots of space, and it's a very beautiful time to be in al-Masjid al-Nabawi, and also a beautiful time to be in Mecca. So when we're students, we will be there at that time, alhamdulillah. We'll be there at that time, alhamdulillah, for years. So sometimes at this time, it's an easy opportunity to try to pray close to the imam. Otherwise, you pray behind, especially in the times whenever there's classes. You pray where the class is, and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin's class is far, in the corner of the masjid. And Sheikh Suleiman's chair likewise was further away, and in the middle, back of the masjid likewise, sometimes even in the same chair. Sheikh Abdul Razak's class likewise, their chairs are further away from the mimbar. So sometimes, if there are no classes, we'll get opportunity and we'll try to pray in the rawda. Or we will go to the front and pray close. And I've tried to pray in the front row, and I never have prayed in the front row. The issue is here that at the time, whenever I would go to the front of the masjid, I would always see this person. And this man, he always prays in the front row. Every time in my life, I've seen him many times. And every time I seen him, he's praying in the front row in the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not far on the right side of the imam. And the man, he's handicapped. This man, I know him because he's handicapped. And he walks, his walk is not good. He walks, and it's very clear that he's handicapped, but his mind is there. And also, whenever he talks, he can't talk clearly either. And I've seen him many, many, many times in the same place in the front row in the Prophet's Masjid. I used to ask myself, SubhanAllah, how is this guy? He's always here. Every time if I come to the front, in the front of the Masjid, and try to pray close to the Imam, I see that man. I used to think it was amazing, SubhanAllah. One day, the point is, this man here, he loves the prayer. He's always in the Masjid before everybody else. Obviously, to get to be in the front row in the Prophet's Masjid, you have to strive hard. You have to strive hard to be on the front row. You have to come very early. Some people will stay the night there, trying to get in the front row, or come there as soon as the gates open if it's possible, and try to rush to get to the front row. This brother here, he's always there. Sometimes whenever the masjid is full, the ranks, they'll go out all through the side, and they'll go out the doors, and we'll be praying on the area, out the doors. Yani outside, it's called the saha, and the courtyard. But the ranks are connected, going outside behind the imam all the way out the doors. And one time I was praying on that row outside, and it was almost the iqama, and I seen from a distance that brother, that handicapped brother, he's coming, he's rushing, he's coming towards me, and he took to come to the rank. And then it was almost the iqama. It was almost the comma, and he's coming. He's moving, yani, kind of quickly, but it's hard for him because he's handicapped. He's handicapped. The comma was started, and whenever the comma started, he fell down. And he started crying. SubhanAllah. He fell down, he started crying, and he's crawling. Wallahi, I seen it with my eyes. He's crying because he missed the comma. He's handicapped. His voice, he can't speak clearly. His leg, he can't walk properly. But wallahi, he was always in the first row. SubhanAllah, was an amazing affair. And his coming, whenever they made the akama, he can't hold himself no more. He missed the akama, SubhanAllah. And he fell down and he started crying. And like, he's probably maybe 20, 30 feet in front of me. I watched him, and he crawled, and he got back up, and then he came, and he joined the rank, and he was very sad. He was very sad. SubhanAllah. So these are people who have, or these are examples of people who have iman in their heart. They believe. They believe in the reward. They'll come to the prayer even if they're crawling. They'll flee from the punishment of Allah even if they're crawling. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا لَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَا, that if they knew what were in these two prayers, and from the reward for those who performed them properly and from the punishment of those who neglected, they would come to them even if they are crawling on their hands and knees. وَلَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَتُقَامَ, and I have thought about commanding the prayer to be established. ثُمَّ أَمُرَ رَجُلًا فَيُصَلِّ بِالنَّاسِ, and I will command somebody to pray in my place and lead the people in the prayer. ثُمَّ أَنْطَلِقُ مَعِي بِرِجَالٍ مَعَهُمْ حُزَمٍ, and I would leave me and some men along with me who have bundles of wood. حُزَم مِنْ حُطَب إِلَى قَوْمٍ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, and go to some people who did not establish the prayer. They do not establish يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةِ يَنِي يَحْضُرُونَ صَلَاةِ الْجَمَعَةِ, they do not attend the obligatory prayer in congregation. فُحَرِّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَبُيُوتَهُمْ بِالنَّارِ, and I will burn their houses down on them with fire. And I will burn the houses upon them with fire. So this is a clear evidence for the ulama who mentioned the obligation, and likewise the author, the obligation of establishing the congregational prayer. And that is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he thought about this, and he had intended to do that, but he didn't. And there are some narrations that have come in Al-Musnad by Imam Ahmad, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned لَوْلَا مَا فِي الْبُيُوتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالذُّرِّيَّةِ, he said, if it was not for the fact that there are women and children in those homes, I would have done that. And he mean he burned their houses down. And because the women and children, it's not an obligation for them to attend, but it's an obligation for the men. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he refrained from doing that. So some of the ulama, they mentioned that it's an obligation, but it's fard kifaya. And if some of the believers establish it, then the obligation falls off the rest. But this evidence here, and this hadith right here, refutes that. And it's not possible, because if it was sufficient for some of the believers to establish it, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have sufficed with him and his companions who were there praying. But rather, there are men who did not pray. There are men who did not pray. And it's mentioned in some of the narrations that there are any faqada an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'd an-nas, that the Prophet, he missed some people, and there were people who were not praying, and he started noticing that they're not attending, and the likes like this. And then he had intended this, and he mentioned this narration sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did not burn down those houses, but he had intended. So this is a clear clarification of the obligation of the congregational prayer. And who is an obligation upon? This has proceeded in the previous classes. Any of the people who live in the proper distance, and likewise those who are of the age, and those who are able, and the likes like this. But in general, this is clear, the obligation. Even if a person, he lives in a distance, that's not an obligation for him to attend. It's still, especially in these lands, highly recommended for him to attend and to have a connection with the masjid and a relationship with the people in the masjid, so that he can benefit and so that he can learn and so that he can be reminded and the likes like this. Especially in these lands, even if somebody is further away, maybe the obligation is not there, but still he has an obligation in his deen. And how could a person, subhanAllah, suffice himself to live his life day in and day out and never see the Muslims, to live around disbelievers all the time and never see the Muslims and never be with the Muslims, because maybe there's not a masjid near his house. So he will live without being in contact with the Muslims all day long and then all night long, and he'll pray all of his prayers by himself. And this person, he's praying for shaitan. He's praying for shaitan and his desires and the likes like this. So even if a believer is further away, he'll strive to pray in the masjid as much as he can. All five prayers, or four prayers, three prayers, at least the morning prayer and the evening prayer, the Isha prayer, whatever is easy for him, the Maghrib and the Isha, whatever is easy for him, he'll strive if he lives further away. And he's trying to keep his deen together and keep his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct, and knowing that it's more beloved to Allah to establish the prayer in the masjid. As for those who live close and who live in the proper distance, this is a clear clarification for the obligation upon them. A clear evidence and clarification for the obligation of establishing that prayer and congregation behind the imam in the masjid. In the masjid. So this narration, it has many benefits. And from them, it's clear this is an obligation of the congregational prayer. And likewise, the virtue of the Salat of Isha and Fajr specifically. And likewise, that the Iqamah, the establishment of the Iqamah, is in the hands of the Imam. In the hands of the Imam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the Imam, and the establishment of the prayer is in his hands. And likewise, in every Imam, it's his right. And also, we see the permissibility of letting or of the Imam allowing someone to pray in his place and selecting someone to pray in his place if he's preoccupied, or if he has an obligation or requirement, or if he's not able to make it in time, and the likes like this, that the Imam, he will select somebody to pray behind, to pray and lead the people, and the likes like this. And also, we see that falling back from the obligational prayer, this is a sign of hypocrisy. And also, it's a sign that that prayer is hard on that person, which is also a sign of hypocrisy. And we see that it's permissible, yani, for the ruler and the Muslim ruler to take these affairs into his hands, and to, if he sees corruption and evil, it's permissible for him to destroy those places like of alcohol or bars or wine, bars or clubs and the likes like this, or those places that sell things that are permissible and legal. The Muslim ruler and the Muslim land, under his authority, he must go there and destroy those places and remove them, and this would be a punishment for those people who established them, and the likes. And this is permissible. And this is permissible. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.